I'm going to make it so easy for you today. You open your Bibles. Wait a minute. Praising and concern. She went and left a little early, didn't she? No, she didn't. Well, whatever. I'm still a little mixed up. And I am glad to be here because I got to tell you what happened to me this week. I got an ear infection on Sunday night that abscessed into my jaw and swelled the whole left side of my face up. That's bad. I don't like ear infections. You could cut my arm off and it wouldn't hurt near as bad as when you get an ear infection. So the doctor, when we went to the doctor Monday, and I actually went, the doctor decided to put me on Vicodin. Don't ever take that stuff. Between the Vicodin and the muscle relaxers, I didn't know who I was for 2 days. Literally, ask Wendy. She claimed at one point, I said at 1 o'clock in the morning, I was going swimming and was getting up to go. Amongst other things that I'm still not sure I actually did. It took 2 days for that nonsense. Finally, on the second day, she called and said, you got to get him off of this. He don't even know who he is. And on Wednesday, I finally started to come back to knowing I could actually look at things, and I literally was gone. And by Thursday, I took myself off painkillers all the way around. I said, I can handle everything else. I can't handle being crazier than I already am. And I am feeling far and away better, but I'm still just a little bit off for some reason. I still have some pain there, but thank you for the prayers. And And three times of baptizing here at this church. We'll go down the list. The very first time I ever baptized at Martin's Mill Bridge, by the time I come out of the water, the first time my temperature was heading toward 102. And that day when I got home, it had spiked at 105 and I was sick for 2 days. Last year I got Lyme's disease. This year I got an ear infection. You think I'm going to quit baptizing? Nope. But I'm not taking Vicodin anymore. My golly. So yeah, thank you for your prayers. I'm back to normal almost, except when I missed yesterday with a hammer and smashed that finger black and blue. But I'm living. In quiet meditation, Father, we come before you. Asking above all, you lead, guide, and direct us. Let us share our prayers here together. Praying for those who are in sickness and distress. For those that are seeking your mercy and your will. For those looking down the road toward upcoming surgeries, tests. So many health issues, Father. To the simple struggle that goes on with inside each and every one of us as we try to overcome the evil to follow your Son Jesus that is there, present and real every day. Lead, guide, and direct us. Help us. Thank you. We praise you for the blessing of grace, of the never-ending mercy. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Multiplied. Where we have failed you, you have still stood there with us. When we, like the story of Peter, started to slip beneath, you catch us. Search each heart here today, Father, that it might know what is actually going through and place it upon the Holy Spirit. Give us great joy, Father. We are expected to follow certain guidelines as the world would lay it out, and yet we don't. We follow you, and you give us great joy even in the midst of trial and tribulation. Thank you. For all those that are seeking you, we would ask that your name be heard pleadingly, exceedingly. We ask for special prayer for those doing the mission work here at home, far away, our missionaries, Father, that we look over as they do the very thing that we're praying for, that they bring your name further out into the unknown. We pray for their safe guidance and their safe keeping, and for those that work right here at home. For answered prayer. For little miracles that are big miracles. For little steps that show us that you are there, that turn into big steps. Thank you. We pray for the leaders of the country, for the leaders that would take on the awesome responsibility of leading this country. Pray that they would move toward you instead of toward their own goals and missions. Pray that you show us needs that we can meet, Father, so that we can minister. Join us together. Make our hearts as one as we pray, the way Jesus showed us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to make it so easy. Just open up to Luke and leave it open. We're going to start in the 12th chapter, but we're going everywhere in Luke today, except for a little trip over to John, but I'll let you know right before that happens. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12 and just leave it there. Don't close them. What's that saying I saw, a bumper sticker I saw? A Bible works like a parachute only when it's open. Isn't that how that goes? Of course, I saw another one today. I was laughing on the back of a big RV that said, "We are spending our children's inheritance." Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Look up at me when you're ready. I often deign to do things differently. I don't never want to be stuck the same way, so that when tomorrow comes, I'm set. Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come, and you've been left behind. A man and a wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One turns around and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. The Father spoke, the demon's dying. How could you have been so blind? Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. You've been left behind. You've been left behind. Luke chapter 12. Starting in the 13th verse, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them this parable. There was a certain rich, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, well, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and then I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool! This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God when tomorrow comes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have met together yet again in these four walls, in your presence, as brothers and sisters, as many, becoming as one to get your message. Let these words spoken today reach out and touch hearts and open minds and strengthen us as we leave from here, breaking open that bread, that gospel, that truth, that love. Let it take us here today, stronger knowing you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. It always begins that way with me. How about you? But you don't even get it yet. It always begins that way. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. And then when tomorrow comes, I haven't done anything. Show of hands, right? Oh, yeah, they're going up everywhere. That's how it is. Shucks, it's too late. We started talking about going on vacation. I said way back in the late winter, early spring, I'm going to lose weight so I look good in a bathing suit. Tomorrow came. I was scared that once I got out there on that beach in a bathing suit, there might be a couple of mistakes and a few harpoons come my way. Tomorrow came. I didn't do anything. Nothing. Oh, I lost weight when I got to the beach because you have to walk 16 miles to get to it. You got to walk 18 miles up and down the boardwalk just to get a slice of pizza. How many times do we misuse the time that we have and then we're sorry because it's too late? Thank you, Brother Frank. If I could have sat down today and said, God, please, fill this sermon up. He couldn't have done better than to have a man come to you and want to pray for a mother whom he was never close to because tomorrow is coming. And I'm sorry I missed out. Lately, it seems like over the past several months, everywhere I turn, there's a sign pointing to me, tomorrow is coming. I did Wendy's mom's funeral. And I've done a few others. I always thought when I became a preacher, doing a funeral would be easy. Sometimes you're not really ready for what you hear. For people that are coming to you and looking at you and going, if I only had a little more time. Tomorrow came. Tomorrow is coming. I never know where my sermons are coming from. I never ask. I just wait. What's going to happen? That song came across the radio. Well, it was early on in the week. And would not leave my head. You've been left behind. I wish we'd all been ready. Whatever name you want to give to the song. That song was written in 1969 by a man named Larry Norman, who has been called the father of the Christian pop music scene. And if you ever get a chance to sit down and read Larry Norman's history, it is thorough and in-depth. This was a man that had left church three different times because three different times he felt that a single simple message hadn't been preached. Jesus Christ is Lord. We better get ready because he's coming back. It was always, you're okay. You'll feel good. Everything's okay. Anybody hear that in today's messages a lot? Sorry. I can't do that. And so in Larry's walk, his incredible talent, he fused pop music and gospel music together, and he came up with the stylings of music today that had given us such great groups as Jars of Clay and DC Talk and on back into my generation when it was a little bit more rock music, a group called Straper, who took their sayings from "By His Stripes We Are All Healed." He fathered that. But this song was written at a time in his life when he felt God had left him. Or he had left God. Or he had done things incorrectly. Or he hadn't taken the time to be prepared because tomorrow was coming. In 1969, living in the middle of hippie district, Haight-Ashbury, San Francisco, in a little tiny one-room apartment, on a floor with no bed, in tears, these words came to him. And he wrote, "I wish we'd all been ready." Looking outside, he could see that his pain was only simply that he wasn't listening to what God said. He wasn't thinking for somebody else. He was maintaining the world around him and letting the world around him dictate, just like we saw in Luke. It's an interesting scripture to pull back from to look at when tomorrow's coming. But for that rich man, tomorrow came. It comes for us. Now, I'm not talking about Monday morning when beep, 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 the old alarm clock's going off and one eye pops open and you look at that thing and go, "It's 3:30 in the morning. Why do I get up at this hour?" I'm talking about the day. And you know not the hour. You know not the minute when tomorrow comes. He was seeing the people around him that were living for themselves and would not be ready for when tomorrow comes. And we are like that. I am like that. I fall into that category. And I don't know what else to do about it other than to preach to you about it so I can hear myself and remind myself how to get away from being too scared of when tomorrow comes. Start in here. Oh, I hear it a lot. Oh, I've read the Bible. Really? When's the last time you read it? Oh, well, you know, I've read through it. Well, I can read through it too. Beginning and middle, there you go. When I sat down and began to prepare this, I started to see what tomorrow meant. There are so many times that we just need to look in the Bible, and Jesus himself said it over and over again. Be prepared. Luke chapter 22. Turn with me. That's why I said keep it open. We're gonna visit with Luke all day. Luke chapter 22, 54th verse. An old story about when tomorrow comes and being prepared for it. And acting like it ain't coming ain't going to stop it. Let's listen to the story. 54, "Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest, and Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked at him closely and said, This man was with him.' But he denied it. 'Woman, I don't know him,' he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You are also one of them.' 'Man, I am not,' Peter replied. And about an hour later, another asserted, 'Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean.' Peter replied, 'Man, I don't know what you are talking about.' Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Tomorrow came. You know the story. Old Peter. And you know, I'm named Paul. And a lot of people think I'm named Paul because eventually I was going to be like Paul. No, I identify with Peter. Because Peter's got a big mouth and he's always getting himself in trouble. That's me. I even prepared to get myself in trouble today. You see, I brought a toy to school. I got a laser pointer while we were at the beach and been having fun with it. And every time I move, Wendy wants to see if I'm going to whip it out of my pocket and have fun with it. I identified with Peter. And Peter had a big mouth and was always getting himself in trouble. So what's Peter do? They're going to take you away, Jesus. I'll follow you right into the depths of hell itself. That's a pretty bold statement to make. Jesus looked at him and said, "No, you won't. You'll deny me." "Oh, no, I won't." "Yes, you will." "Never." 3 times. "Before the rooster crows in the morning, Peter." 3 times. Tomorrow came. He wasn't ready. Can you imagine the anguish? Can you imagine sitting there in that courtyard watching your Savior being beaten and questioned and doing what you did, and the rooster crows and you awake and look up and Jesus is staring right at you? He left with the knowledge that he had failed, and I got to tell you, this scares me more and more and more as I get older, and I don't understand why. I used to be scared of practically nothing except my dad and my grandfather and my uncle. And then I got married and now I'm scared of my wife and Martha. You should be scared just a little bit of tomorrow. Just a little bit. As I've gotten older, it scares me. I've not gotten much wiser because, well, I am me, and wiser is not a word I will ever use to describe myself, because I'm really not. But as I have gotten older, and now that I am here in this position, I can talk to my brothers and sisters and look around me and see those who flagrantly, flatly deny the existence of God and Jesus and the end, and wonder to myself, how can I help them? And my heart breaks when you can't. We will spend much time today in the book of Luke because I found out something in sitting down to prepare this message. It gave me something else to look at Luke. That is to sit down. It gave me a new thing to do. And I challenge you to do the same thing. Sit down and reread the whole Gospel of Luke, backwards and forwards. Reread the whole Gospel of Luke. I found that this is a very vivid recording of Jesus written by a man who never saw him. How's that happen? A vivid recording of Jesus written by a man who never saw him. And yet if you sit down and read the underlying theme of this gospel, it is be ready. I'm coming back. Tomorrow's coming. It says it everywhere. If you sit down and look, and I started to count it up, and I counted at least 6 different times, Jesus in Luke's gospel says, "Be ready, I'm coming back." Everybody ready? Are you sure? Sometimes I'm not. Of me. Oh, I believe. Oh, I know that Jesus is my Savior. And I know that salvation is mine because I ask for it and because I profess His name with my mouth. But there are those occasions when I catch myself falling off the track back into the world that I stop and go, tomorrow's coming and I'm not exactly ready today. Don't come. Wait, wait, wait. It's the underlying theme. And I'm sure it gets to be a tired old message. That is, if you're losing sight. Oh, golly, there's Paul up there again. He's preaching about the end of the world and Jesus coming. We know all that. Get on with something new. Talk about anything else. No, I won't. Had a guy tell me one time, he liked the preacher at his church, but the preacher preached about Jesus a little too much. I'm sorry, my head just fell off of my shoulders. What did you say? He said, well, I don't need to hear that every day, that Jesus is Lord and that He's coming back and He died for my sins. Why not? I am losing sight of it every now and then. And if I don't remind you heavily of what our life is and what it is to be and what it is to do and what it has to do with God who made us and Jesus who saved us, we could still miss it. When I sat down and read the Left Behind series, one of the things that stunned me was the preacher in the book that got left behind. The preacher, the pastor of the big giant church in the book, on the day they got left behind, he was on his knees at the altar going, what? Don't nod your head when I ask that question so fast. You might have missed something. You might be like that fellow. I don't need to hear about Jesus every time a preacher opens his mouth. Well, then you need to go down to the Church of the Wallflower. We could still miss it when tomorrow comes. And so I hammer this message home. And in Luke, so did Jesus. Again, I take you back to chapter 12. Join with me there. He pounds this message all through everything. He warns about the future crisis. He says, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? And as if that wasn't enough, back up a little bit to verse 35. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master who finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And brothers and sisters, I'm not just talking about when the trumpet sounds. I've said it again. I'm sorry I'm being a little dark today, this Sunday, but it's on my mind. Your day could come today. Are you ready? And so today I find myself asking you to do the same thing I am doing. Are you really ready for when tomorrow comes? Making sure that you are actually living for Jesus. That's tough. It takes us to have to do something that we don't necessarily are very good at doing. And that's trying to live a little better. Not that you're going to be perfect, far from it. You will fail. But sometime, somewhere, every day, are you trying to maintain Jesus in your life? Not gossiping about the person down the street, forgiving somebody who you were mad at, going over to the rescue mission and just sitting there with those brothers who need to see somebody who else knows Jesus and the love that they have. We try, we fail. We try, we fail. We think we have all the answers, we fail. When we think we know what we're doing, we fail. And so tomorrow comes and we stop and look and we fail. I didn't lose the weight because I didn't change anything. And yet so does forgiveness and grace and love and understanding also be there when tomorrow comes. For us, two stories. Luke chapter 7, starting in the 36th verse. I read this over this morning as I was finishing up my notes, and I got to tell you, if some tears don't pull from your eyes, maybe I'm not reading it well enough. Get in the 36th verse, because this is a beautiful story, and I don't know why I keep missing it. Now, one of the Pharisees had invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And when a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at this Pharisee's table, at this house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet weeping. And she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them do you suppose loved him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I've entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I don't care who you are. That tears at you. You can't sin enough that he don't love you. You can't. You can't get in a bad enough way that he won't forgive and that he won't love. Luke chapter 19. The second story. Short little quick one. I ought to make you sing the song. That'd be funny. See how many people can even remember it. Luke 19 verses 7 and 9. And I still sing this song, by the way. Not just because I have kids, but because I love it. Verse 7, "And all the people saw this and began to mutter, 'He has gone to be the guest of a sinner?' But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay four times that amount.' Jesus said to him, 'Today my salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what is lost.'" Amen. Tomorrow, even though tomorrow's coming, we're saved. Sold out. Zacchaeus. I'll make you do that one day. "When tomorrow comes, he will wait for us." Monte Unger, who is famous for a book he wrote with former astronaut James Irwin about the search for Noah's Ark and the learning of and the getting closer to God during that search, because James Irwin became a Christian after going to space and realizing that we are not just earthlings. Get the book and read it. We are not just earthlings. James Irwin said these words. "You ever talk with somebody on the telephone and they seem to be in a hurry to get on with more important business? or you've been that person that's been in a hurry. It's a great principle of love that people don't interrupt. Not really. Perhaps there shouldn't even be such a word as interrupt. For when people come into your existence, even for a brief time, that is a wonderful moment of experience for you both. Relish it, probe it, invest time into it. We can't afford the luxury of being too busy or too important for another person. We have time for such intimate things as pieces of mail, vast sprawling centers, television program which starts at 7:30 and I have to watch it, even though VCRs have been invented. What about the relationships with people? Over the past several days, since I have been sick, my wife and children have determined to take advantage of me. And they're making me play Monopoly with them. Because when I'm in my right mind, I am ruthless. And because I have been the way I have been, they have been tearing money from me left and right. And I have loved every minute of it. Every minute. Can't wait to keep going. They ain't going to win them. He goes on to say, no, that is not the picture of Jesus of the New Testament. He had time for people. In a crowd, a woman touched his robe. Lots of people were pushing against him, touching his robe, but he discerned the urgency in that particular touch. His disciples were full of fire and computer-like efficiency, trying to get him to move on. They didn't care what it was, but he took time for that valuable interruption. Once a small, grimy-fingered bunch of kids came along and climbed on the master's lap. Get those kids out of here, the disciples said. No, let them stay. Let us enjoy them and let them enjoy us. Next time a person interrupts you, put aside your deadlines. Put aside your moment and think. As Paul prayed in Romans chapter 15, may God who gives patience, steadiness and encouragement help you to live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ toward the other, for when tomorrow comes. In other words, take time to be ready. Do not let tomorrow get here and you not be ready. Luke chapter 18. He simply says, be ready. Then those who heard this asked, who can be saved? Jesus replied, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Tomorrow is coming, and it will come, and it will come, and it will continue to be here, and it's only going to stop at one time. There will be no tomorrow after the trumpet sounds, because then we're going to be in glory. Amen? That day is coming. And I have said it over and over and over again, and I will not stop saying it because I believe this is the perfect illustration. That one day you, each and every one of you that I look at in this room, wish I had a mirror, thank goodness I don't, each and every one of you will be on your knees crying on Judgment Day in front of God as He reads your story. And when He's done, everything has been wrung out of you. And He is looking toward hell. Jesus Christ is going to say, hey, Dad, I got them right here in my book. God's going to look down. Okay. Go on in. When tomorrow comes. It'll soon be here. Are you ready? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I'm glad to have seen not so many heads shaking after I asked that question the last time, because every time I ask it to myself, it makes me stop and think, and so I am glad that you are making people think. Open this message into hearts that would stop them in their tracks to say, wait a minute, I can do this better. I can try something here to be a little bit more ready every day. Yes, I am saved. Yes, I am God. Yeah, for God's child. Yes, I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But I want to be ready knowing longing for when tomorrow comes. Thank you, Father, for this message. For if anything else, waking me up, waking us up, and causing us to ponder you yet again. I pray that each and every one of us in here finds time to spend with Luke, the gospel writer, and see your Son in a beautiful way, in a new way, in a refreshed way, in a way that we can find love and encouragement and purification again. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Although I don't necessarily agree with everything that he did, when Pastor Rick Warren wrote that series, The 40 Days of Purpose, he told a story during that time, and if you took the class, you know the story I'm about to tell. His father had been a great preacher. And as his father lay on the deathbed, incoherent, slipping in and out, suddenly he became very agitated. He became very animated. Tried to get out of the bed, and Pastor Rick Warren held on to him thinking that this was the final moments. And the man started to speak, and Rick said the words that came from his father took him to his knees. One more, one more, one more. I've got to say one more. For when tomorrow comes, I charge you each and every day, save one more for when tomorrow comes. Luke chapter 13, verses 18 and 19. Then Jesus was asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air all perched in its branches." Today, as we sing the last hymn, "One More When Tomorrow Comes," I don't know what you're doing in your heart. I am not allowed to know that, but I can tell you that I can pray for you. We can pray for you as you sing this last hymn. Tomorrow comes. Come up front and be strengthened. Amen.
Stand and turn to page 638.
Like that. be ready. And now may I ask that you be blessed as you leave from here today, strengthened, ready to walk, ready to face trial, ready to face tribulation, holding on desperately, longingly, lovingly, tightly into God's hand. Be you taken from here until we can meet again, either in this or beyond. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, upon each and every one, I bless you all.